Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Caitlin Clark Angel Reese rivalry is still fun. Starting to feel like work. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pro, you said yesterday you don't think that the sport needs this rivalry, right? Because as long as you have the Caitlin aspect of it, that's really, she's the cash cow. She's the sort of beacon. She's the one who's bringing all the casual eyeballs to the WNBA so that this rivalry doesn't matter. And I push back on that. I think that, you know, the origin story of how they played against each other in college, and I think rivalries always help sports. We want more of those. We don't want them going away. But I will concede this. There's something about this that's becoming not fun. First of all, Caitlin answering questions about this yesterday felt like she would have rather been getting her fingernails pulled out of her hands than answering more questions about unruly fan behavior. You know, what's going on with her and Angel? Do they actually like each other? You know, it just feels like they're both so over it. Maybe Angel's not, but Caitlin certainly does. Manny, let's hear from Caitlin Clark, shall we? First of all, the WNBA is investigating some hateful comments that Angel Reese said she heard and the Sky Bench said they heard. Of course, you have to investigate that. Go ahead.
It's super loud in here, although I didn't hear anything. You know, I think, you know, that's why they're doing the investigation. That's why they're looking into it. That doesn't mean nothing happened. So you just trust the league's investigation, and I'm sure they'll do the right thing.
Okay, more from Caitlin, obviously condemns this kind of harassment.
I played, talked about this in the past, and how it should be an inclusive environment. You wanted to speak on that.
Yeah, there's no place for that in our game. There's no place for that in society. And, you know, certainly we want every person that comes into our arena, whether player, whether fan, to have a great experience. So I appreciate the league doing that. I appreciate, you know, the Fever organization has been at the forefront of that since, you know, really day one and what they're doing. So, well, you know, hopefully the investigation, we'll leave that up to them to find anything and take the proper action if so.
Yeah, I mean, it's always something so much more than the basketball with the two of them, which, to be fair, can make a great rivalry, Pearl, maybe when it's about more than sports, but it feels like it's always getting into this commentary about gender and race and society and where we are. Like, it's so far away from sports, it almost feels like we lost the plot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised Caitlin answered that. I would have thought that she'd be for having racist comments in the stands. I love how she's just like, it's so boilerplate. Of course. Anyway, it was a funny question. Not a funny question. It was an obvious question. So here's, I think people are trying to present, and this is what I was kind of getting at yesterday, that Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese's bird magic, which is a rivalry that fueled the NBA through the 80s. And I think Caitlin Clark is much closer to Michael Jordan, who did have intense rivalries. But it really was the Jordan compared to somebody else. So Caitlin's
Jordan
like
versus Jordan. Everybody.
Jordan versus, I got into this with our buddy Dave Separson on Twitter yesterday, former SI employee. Jordan versus Reggie Miller. Jordan versus Patrick Ewing. Jordan versus Magic. Jordan
Isaiah
versus
Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Right. So I think Caitlin will have multiple rivalries. I don't think that they are tied together at the hip and are going to carry this through. And I think that Angel Reese has her own stardom that is going to be separate from Caitlin Clark as well. Because watching that highlight again, people forget that was an incredibly athletic. She might be one of the greatest rebounders in WNBA history.
Right.
She's going to have her own trajectory. I don't think they're going to be tied together. So I think you're right. I think people are manufacturing this rivalry, trying to glom them together, which isn't really, I don't see it that way basketball-wise at all.
Yeah, I don't think we're manufacturing the rivalry. I think it existed. We watched them play against each other in the national championship game and then the next year in an Elite Eight. Those games, real stakes, real bad blood, and I don't mind the bad blood. It's just, it feels like everything has to be this greater commentary either on society or it's got to be a greater commentary on like women and how they interact with each other. And it's like, it can't just be about competition. Like, I'm even seeing in our chat, and we love you guys. This is, you know, and even Kevin, one of our favorites, texts us a picture of his breakfast every morning. He said, it's jealousy. Jealousy. Is it jealousy, LeBron and Jordan? Like, no one assigns those kind of words when it's two men.
Oh, my God. This is, Jordan launched a documentary out of jealousy for LeBron winning that title. There's no pettier rivalry than Jordan LeBron. Let's just start with that.
All right, Kevin, you're right. Yeah. I apologize.
But I understand what you're saying. But that's why I feel like it's manufactured. Like, we keep assigning things to this rivalry that aren't really there.
Right. So the question is the rivalry fun? Like, and listen, I don't know if rivalries are fun for the people who are in them, you know? Like, is it really fun when you're, you know, Ryan Day and you've got to go play in the Big House? That's, I don't know if you would characterize that as fun.
Yeah, but again, like Ryan Day and Michigan, that is a rivalry for the eons.
Right.
Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark is not going to be that. I just don't see it any way possible that they're going to be competing head-to-head. They don't play different. They play different positions. Their teams are on different timelines. I don't feel like that's going to be anything like Michigan-Ohio State.
Right, but I guess when you talk about our rivalries fun, it's like from whose vantage point? You know, Michigan-Ohio State, that's fun for us, you know, where we get to be like one layer removed. I don't know if it's fun for the people who are in it. I don't know. I don't know if it's fun when Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal would play each other, you know, all the time for these high-stakes things, but it was a great rivalry, and it helped the sport, and it grows the sport and all of that. The one thing about the Caitlin Angel rivalry, whatever level you think it's on now or it existed, it happened, it's happening right now, but it just doesn't feel like at this point it's actually growing the audience in a positive way. You know, you talk about Magic and Larry, that is credited with growing the NBA in a way where things were on tape delay until these two came along, and it and the growth of the league exploded, and then Michael Jordan took it to another level, and the international part of it took it to a different level. This doesn't feel fun. It feels like you can't even talk about it. I'm not talking about even just online at all, because you end up getting into this discourse. Like yesterday, we had a great caller, Billy in Toronto, who called in to bring up, you know, Caitlin Clark's Time Sports Person of the Year speech, where she acknowledged her privilege. Like, it just gets so far away from basketball, Pearl. Like, we can talk about the flagrant foul, and we can talk about whether it should have been a flagrant and what happened, but that's like maybe 5% of the conversation, where 95% of it is about gender, race, society. Mm-hmm. You know, people assign so much on these two women. It's just like everyone killed it. It's not fun anymore. You disagree?
No, I just think that, first of all, I gotta be honest, I've gotten into have you never dove into those waters?
No, I'm just saying it's now that's the only water.
Yeah, I think it's always been the only water, because I don't think that the rivalry has existed like you think it did. I just think, Angel, they're such different players that this whole thing has been kind of manufactured from the start to me.
See, that's why I think they need to be playing each other more high-profile games. Because when they were playing for the national championship, when you're playing in a one-and-done in the Elite Eight, it does actually feel like the basketball is the thing. Now, I mean, listen, that game was a blowout on Saturday, but it just feels like now that it's crossed over into the WNBA, it's like it's weirdly not about the hoops anymore. I don't know. EJ, you still find this? I'm sorry.
I would love, by the way, like a real rivalry. Like, I'd like to see Angel Reese go up against another power forward in the finals and that be the battle. Or Juju Watkins, I think, could come along and be the next transcendent player after Caitlin. And that, what if they were a rival? I don't think Paige Becker is going to be quite that good. But what if Juju Watkins was coming in like LeBron and Caitlin was like Jordan? They went head to head. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I think Caitlin could grow if she gets to the finals, she's on a much better team than Angel this year. The WNBA is going to explode. And it has nothing to do with the rivalry.
Yeah, I wouldn't count out Paige. I think she accounted for like 50% of all Dallas's points yesterday. She had some kind of.
Yeah, she's gonna be good.
She had some kind of crazy.
But is she gonna be transcendent, like MVP level?
Possibly.
I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't count her out.
She's a young player. She's not picking the draft.
Yeah, I think Watkins is gonna be something.
Yeah, Watkins
big.
Is great. Nobody or debates that.
No, we can't wait for her to get.
Hopefully she can get back from her knee injury. Right, that's a big.
Yeah, no, I know.
Part of what Paige we're talking about and the player she is, part of it is injuries. Right.
Yeah.
So Juju's dealing with the exact same thing. So, and I'm not wishing anything against Juju, but that's a reality that we have to see what player she is coming after the ACL. But I agree with Maggie. I just feel like there's nothing fun about this. Like, I think when you watch Ohio State versus Michigan, you watch North Carolina versus Duke, or you watched. If, you know, I'm a Knicks fan, but people outside of New York, if you're watching Knicks versus Pacers, I think you watch these games saying, like, yeah, those people are very intense, but this is fun. It's just basketball. We're talking about these two teams that hate each other, and they're going out there, and they're competing hard. There's nothing about this anymore that's about that. It's always about, you got media members going on massive beefs, talking about each other's wives. You got people talking about existential crises happening all over the world. Like, this has gone beyond, become so beyond that. I think Magic and Bird are probably the only rivalry I can think of in modern times that's kind of comparative. But at least when the Lakers and the Celtics play, you still were excited to watch them play.
Right.
I just had no excitement to watch Fever versus Sky. The Fever are a team that could push for a WNBA title. They have an MVP candidate in Caitlin Clark. Chicago is not a championship contender. And Angel Reese is probably an all-star level player, but not anywhere near an MVP caliber player. So to me, now we're only here for the toxicity. And then I ask, like, how can a rivalry to me for fans really become enjoyable if that's all you got? I don't think that it will. I think eventually this is going to become a thing where I think people are going to be tuned out from it.
But wait, I have a question, though, for both of you. Do you guys agree with me that she's like Jordan, that doesn't matter if she has a rival, she will grow the sport at the same exact rate, whether there's a rival or not?
I disagree, because I think Jordan, I disagree with the premise that Jordan didn't have rivals.
Larry Bird was one of them. The Pistons were another one.
That's a huge rivalry.
But the highest rated Jordan games, obviously, were against the Jazz. Like,
they played 2 years in a row.
Yeah, it didn't matter, though. I mean, but the comment, like, Jordan could have picked anybody rival. My point is, like, it didn't matter who it was. It could be Karl Malone. It could be Ewing. It could be Barkley. It's all Jordan, 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 Jordan.
So Jordan also was like manufacturing things in his mind, right, where he created rivals out of pure thin air.
But we did tune in to see Michael Jordan versus any one individual. There was no Bird Magic dynamic. It was Michael Jordan. Like, the biggest games were just against a whole slew of different players.
The better comparison in Jordan for you for that then is Serena Williams. Serena Williams doesn't have a rival.
But yeah, right? But she didn't explode the sport. Yes, exactly like Jordan did, though. I think that
women's tennis.
She definitely helped.
Is women's tennis a big deal now?
I mean, her
and Venus both did a lot for as far as like prize money and getting equal stuff. Now it was funny because Serena, they tried to make Maria Sharapova her rival, but Sharapova can never beat her.
Right.
So I think the all-time record is Serena 1 million and Sharapova like 1. And so you can't really make it a rival. It's got to be a back and forth. And that's the other thing where this may not work with Caitlin and Angel for long is if they're never good at the same time. They'll both be good, but if their teams aren't good at the same time, then that obviously would hurt it as well.
I'm telling you, I think if you're talking about the growth of the WNBA, it does not matter. It'll be Caitlin, because she had 9 million viewers for the LSU-Iowa final. Then she had 18 million for the South Carolina-Iowa final. It's just all you need. If you really want to grow the WNBA, all you need is Caitlin to get through right now. You don't need a rival at all.
But you can still answer this question. Yeah. Do you find Caitlin and Angel fun right now?
I could care less. I immediately tuned out on all these stories. But I've done that. By the way, you think this is today that they're doing this? Listen, remember when I went viral for some weird thing I said about flagrant foul, where I was like, Caitlin.
You said it was
flopped.
A basketball play.
Yeah, like Caitlin flopped and I had a million people. Yeah, of course. I mean, the energy around this story, you could get canceled for taking a WNBA take. It's insane. Like, there's been way too much societal pressure. And EJ, you nailed it on social media the other day. It hasn't been about the basketball for a long time. And that's, I do think it'll become more about the basketball. So, I think there will be more eyeballs on the sport. And everyone will start investing in the players as the sport grows. Right. So that's all the side stuff will go away.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, here's the thing about the rivalries, right? They grow sports, no matter what it is, women's tennis, women's basketball, men's basketball. It doesn't matter. But is there a point where this rivalry is actually turning people off? It's not growing it anymore.
No.
It's making it so far so far off the track of the sport that, you know, you can't even have a hard foul anymore, you know?
I don't think that'll happen at all. I think the sport's going to really grow this year.
Let's go to Kevin. He's our pal in San Antonio. Kevin, I love the waffles. That was a twist. Kevin sends us a picture of his breakfast every morning. The waffles look delicious, dude. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. You know, I don't like, this is not nothing but a rivalry. It's not a rivalry. It's jealousy. Because it started when Iowa played LSU, they lost, she got mad, and she tried to have a baby fit or something. Then Iowa went to the championship, and they lost to South Carolina. But see, that's jealousy. That's jealousy. Ain't no rivalry at all.
Who's jealous of who? They're jealous of Caitlin?
Yes, they are.
Jealous of Caitlin. Okay.
Angel Reese is very jealous. That's why she showed her anger on the court.
Yeah, but Kevin, appreciate the call. And again, these waffles look really good.
Those are big waffles.
I'm in the mood for waffles because I have to eat 24 hours worth of them coming up soon. But here's the thing about Angel being jealous of Caitlin. Angel's got a lot. You know, can you always be jealous of somebody? Sure. I'm not going to tell her. I don't know what's in her mind and in her heart. But I'm watching Angel have a national McDonald's commercial. She's in every women's magazine. She's a cultural icon. Are we getting close to that as far as women athletes? She's transcended the sport. She's crossed over, Pearl. Maybe not in a way that Caitlin has, but in a pretty, I'm sure, lucrative way. So is she jealous? Or she said she has to be the villain? But honestly, like, is that, if that helps your brand, you don't have to be the villain forever. I mean,
well, that's the problem, because one thing Draymond Green said years ago that I thought was very profound, ironically, was he talked about how if he had one regret in his career, he regrets embracing the role of the villain early in his career because it never leaves you. He said when he saw Trae Young doing the stuff he was doing at Madison Square Garden, he actually wanted to talk to him, say, hey, you don't want that, because what happens is that is the only way they're going to see you for the rest of your career. Now, Draymond's live of the issues, right?
I was like, going to say,
he's added on to that, right?
He could have changed that narrative through the 13 years he's been in the league, but he's still out there committing ridiculous flagrants.
It's very possible. But still, I did think the Trae Young example was poignant, because people still hate Trae Young for really, I mean, he's a little dorky, but almost overall, he doesn't do anything, right? He's kind of just a normal basketball player, but he still wears this, like, villain moniker for something that happened 4 or 5 years ago. So I don't know, Maggie. I do think that, like, once you stamp yourself and decided that she was going to be that villain, I don't think you can kind of, like, undo it, which is what she's trying to do.
But I
ask
you this.
So frustrated.
And I'm not trying to be callous about it. Has it been bad for business? And the personal stuff that she has to deal with, by the way, people saying sexual harassing things on social media, I hate to do this. This happens to women, whether you're the face or whether you're the heel. And I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, if you think that just being likable means, like, Caitlin Clark, we think, is all likable, right? She has a stalker coming around her physical space. Angel Reese has had people come up to her on the street. It doesn't matter if you're, like, the good guy or the villain. There's famous people, and especially famous women, are going to attract some really creepy characters.
That is fair, Maggie. But at the same time, we know the legion of people who are Caitlin Clark supporters. And it's just a lot larger than if she decided to pick this beef with Juju Watkins or pick this beef anonymous college basketball player, but another women's basketball player. She just would not have this amount of quote-unquote hatred, right?
Right.
They had a literal brawl on the court with South Carolina, where people were actually coming on the court and swinging on people. I don't see South Carolina fans of Cardozo, who's ironically her teammate, coming out and, like, saying, hey, I'm here for Cardozo, and, like, threatening her. That's not what she's dealing with.
Yeah.
So I do think, you know, just like, you know, Trae Young picked his battle with Knicks fans, or Angel Reese picked your battle with Caitlin Clark,
right. There's
a difference with when you decide where you're going to be that villain.
Okay, but here's the thing. Trae Young, also, I was there when he went to Madison Square Garden in a WWE event and came out and played the heel to the New York crowd. There's choices you make along the way where you either double down on it and it's good for business, or you really try to do some kind of image rehab makeover, whatever you feel like you want it. You feel misunderstood.
Yeah, and I think, and to be fair, just to kind of wrap a bow on that, I mean, Trae Young seems very perfectly fine with that. He was trolling Knicks fans yesterday.
Right.
So he's fine with that. But Angel Reese clearly seems like she's not. She doesn't seem very happy. She's talked about being depressed.
Right.
She's talked about dealing with these issues. She was asked about Caitlin Clark. She very sternly was like, I don't want to talk about that. It seems like she is not having fun with this. She may be benefiting from a business side.
Right.
And there's an argument about whether or not you got to kind of take the sacrifice, but it doesn't seem like she's enjoying any of this.
But what happened after the play? That was, like, I think what Kevin might have been getting at. She seemed to overreact pretty strongly to that flagrant foul.
She's charging at Caitlin.
Yeah, and did she yell, like, what did she yell?
She said, you're wild for that. I think that was what she was saying.
Did she mention, like, did she at some point say, why do you have a problem with me or something like that? She does seem to have a Caitlin issue. Like,
generally, I mean, this is what makes rivalries good when they get personal, but
for some reason, this has not been that way. Did you see Caitlin try and put that rivalry to the side? Like, she is not embracing it. And then after the game, Angel also tried to push away from it. This is, Yeah, I think Caitlyn's done with the Angel rivalry. I got that sense. Like, she's like, my
America's not done.
I was gonna say, who decides that though?
But Caitlyn keeps pushing it away. Like, watch her answer questions on that. She's like, yeah, this is just a basketball play. And so did Angel. I think Caitlyn, because of what you said, is trying to push this thing away. She does not want. It's definitely not fun for the participants.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Do you still find the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese rivalry fun? Rivalry is supposed to be fun. Coming up, we got college football news for you. Two historic programs. The rivalry may be coming to an end. Why?
What's up with that?
We'll explain next.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Come back, Maggie and Perloff show. Got to tell you, all this talk about the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark dust up from the weekend. I'm a sucker. I've gotten into WNBA. I'm kind of excited. The Fever play tonight. I think it's on TV. Maybe it isn't. I feel like every Caitlin game's on TV. I will check it out because my take is if the Fever are contenders, like, watch out. The WNBA is going to explode this summer.
Let me tell you where that game is. Let's see. NBA TV.
Yeah. There you go. I have that.
Dream Fever. 7 o'clock Eastern. But you also have Timberwolves and OKC. You're going to have the two TVs.
Oh, so what time does that game start?
8:30.
Yeah, we'll get through most of the Dream Fever.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe the whole game.
8:30.
I know, 8:30.
But actually, so we actually need some WNBA gear. What's the name of that new team that I like?
The Valkyries?
Yes. What a logo. What a team.
Perloff's favorite team. What's their name again?
Yeah. Valkyries. You don't even know from Marvel. Valkyries is a big deal.
Oh, I didn't know it was a Marvel thing.
Well, it's actually a Greek mythology thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a big part of the Marvel series, too.
Oh, of course. JT is in Atlanta. We're asking you today, is the Caitlin Angel rivalry, is it still fun? JT, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I don't know if it's fun anymore, but I think, you know, the problem, I think, is kind of the opinion that Perloff has, right, where he's saying, all you need is Caitlin, and then that's all you need, right? You don't need a rivalry. And I think that is what kind of rubs a lot of these women the wrong way, is that it's like she gets all the juice from the league. Now, granted, she did bring a lot of different, you know, eyes and things to the league, much like Taylor Swift, or even if we want to be honest, this is really reminding me of the Tiger Woods when he first came to, you know, the PGA.
No doubt.
And everybody was like, yo, bro, we've been here before. And it's like, no, not like this, though. Like, people are here now for him that weren't here for you guys before this, right? Now, granted, you guys built this up and it was a great league before he ever got here. But now that he's here, it's different. And it's very much like this. But there was a lot of resentment for some of the old heads and the people that had already been there and established themselves in the PGA when Tiger came along. Like, so what? I mean, like, what's he doing differently that we haven't done? We've won Masters. I mean, look at Jack. I mean, there's people that have dominated before and have been great before, but now all of a sudden this guy's here and it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a lot of what's happening with Caitlin, is that she's getting that resentment that Tiger got.
But let me ask you a question.
As far as like,
JT.
So what?
JT, did Jordan get that? I'm trying to remember it. I don't remember. Michael Jordan came in, and for me, the game changer, when he took off from the foul line in the dunk contest, the whole league was about him overnight. Did he get that resentment?
I think from Isaiah.
I don't think so, because I think, and I think the Pistons themselves, right, they had the Jordan rules, right? Like, I think that there was a, they were like, hey, yeah, not this guy. He's not, we're going to show him and bring him down. But I think there were so many other great players at that time, and the league had already started to ascend to a level with, you know, Bird and Magic, and, you know, I mean, it was already had its own trajectory, and he just built it up a notch. It was not the chasm that you see from where it was to where it is now that you saw in the PGA and as well as the WNBA with Caitlin. So I think that's the thing. And when you hear people like you say, hey, all you need is her, I think anyone that, you know, the women or people that are playing in the WNBA now, I hear that and go, what do you mean all you need is her? Right. What are we, chopped liver?
I think
that kind of builds that resentment or whatever you want to call it. I don't want to say jealousy because I know that's a trigger word for Maggie.
I think it's like that sign to women a lot more than men, even though we know men get plenty jealous. JT, great call. Thank you for making it. I think there's also, like, but the Tiger example is a good one because even if guys were a little resentful of Tiger, first of all, Tiger also had to deal with a whole other slew of issues by being, you know, a black man in this sport, you know, and trying to navigate that. And that was not easy all the way around. But he made the purses bigger. Like, he literally helped everybody's bottom line, you know? And I'm not saying Jack Nicklaus didn't, but I'm just saying, like, there was a tangible financial benefit for all the people who may have been complaining about it because Tiger, you know, created such a, you know, created such a big fan base and TV ratings and all that stuff.
Oh, my God.
Same thing could happen for Caitlin. So I'm not saying that any of the women who may be salty about this or feel like they're not getting their due shouldn't have their feelings, but ask yourself, like, is it going to help the league overall? What are we doing here? Are we messing around? Or are we trying to make money?
I would say also Jordan did the same thing. I mean, we saw the movie. There was no shoe industry until Michael Jordan came along, and then boom.
Yeah, not
and
a the lot same of way.
A lot of players, there was none at all. I mean, Nike
was the Converse weapons.
Nike reinvented the industry on the fly. Their stock went from like $1 to like $1,000 like overnight with Jordan. I mean, it was a huge game changer for everybody.
Definitely a game changer, but there was Clyde Pumas, Mike Magic, and Bird when the weapons. Those were very important to the time,
really?
Too.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I just remember the Matt Damon movie. It seemed like he kind of invented the whole thing.
Yeah, movies.
Yeah, movie.
Hollywood baby.
No, I think that's close to reality. Shoe Dog was very, very... Anyway, but I think like Tiger, Jordan, Caitlin, I think that those people... Really, you're right. They make a lot of money for other people.
To be fair, Asia Wilson is the first woman in the WNBA to have her own signature shoe.
That's Nike.
Yep.
I think. And now Sabrina does too.
And then Caitlin doesn't even have hers yet, right?
That's coming soon. But not yet.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We will get into the news surrounding Notre Dame and USC. This football rivalry, speaking of rivalries, that goes back 100 years, Pearl, now in jeopardy. Get to that in a minute. Andrew Bogish has headlines for us.
And I've got my own college sports news. Yahoo Sports says power conferences are now floating around a draft of an agreement that would bind schools together in support of the pending House settlement. This document is a response to individual states creating laws that would allow their state schools to circumvent the new NIL rules. The power conferences want schools to promise to follow only the House settlement and never sue the new NIL clearinghouse over issues. Penalties for not signing could include conference expulsion or just not being able to play schools that have signed this agreement if it ever actually becomes something that's put on the table for people to sign up for.
I'm sorry, I must be ignorant on this. I didn't realize that state schools would have been able to circumvent this federal ruling.
Well, so individual states, Tennessee is the latest, according to this story, have put in their own things that basically would allow schools to add on NIL, out third-party NIL money on top of the $20 million House settlement cap.
Right.
Therefore, so like Tennessee, Vandy, Memphis, their state schools, they would follow those guidelines, not the universal House settlement. And so the power conference was like, that we can't have that because, again, then we're an uneven playing field. So please sign this that says you won't do that and you also won't sue our decision-making process.
Wait, I'm sorry. So the $20 million cap, which is not just for football, by the way, it's for all the athletic department, right? For NIL money. I thought we all assumed you could also give money on top of that, whether it's boosters, collectives.
Of it has to be tied to actual marketing. So there'll be an outside committee that'll say, if you give an offensive lineman a $2 million deal, you'll have to prove that he's providing $2 million worth of marketing value.
Yes.
That's what I understand.
It's all supposed to be in-house.
It all moved in-house for most of the conferences. I don't think all the conferences all the way through have moved it in-house.
That I don't know about. But and the way Yahoo says it is that those deals are supposed to be inside the $20 million cap. Like, you're supposed to spend $20 million not 75. But the state individual rules would allow you to spend 75 because they'd basically allow third-party NIL that's coming from outside these NCAA, you know, avenues.
Also,
speaking of things that aren't fun, this story,
Eddie, the legal challenge is going to be so easy to break about house. That has no chance of lasting.
Well, and then also, too, there's different people quoted in the story whether or not this idea is even valid, that you could have schools sign up to say, I'm going to ignore state laws. I don't know if that, people are saying, I don't even know if that's allowed.
And Tennessee doesn't get to play Alabama if they don't sign on.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I doubt that's going to happen. I mean, this is going to get challenged. I think the weirdest part about all the possible things that are getting floated is that there's going to be somebody, I don't know who it is, who's going to determine whether or not that offensive lineman getting $1 million or whatever.
Deloitte is running this.
Right.
Yeah.
Whether that's like fair market value. It's like, I'm sorry, what? The fair market value is whatever someone wants to pay you.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
No, I think that they're trying to say the rule because now the linemen are getting huge money, like millions.
For doing nothing. It is like pseudo salary. And that's the other part of the problem is they actually want to see that you're doing something. And
you get a billboard in Tuscaloosa, boom, it's done. I don't see how you can come in and say you're not worth this when you have no collective bargaining agreement, the players haven't agreed to anything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this doesn't hold up.
Right, which is part of this huge argument. Yeah. But that's the idea, is that this clearinghouse, and they, I guess last week or 2 weeks ago, they audited some deals, and they said...
Yeah, they wouldn't hold up.
70% of the third-party ones would not have cleared by us. The ones that are coming from the school make sense. Mm. And a lot of them are, as we thought, were for far less than we were being told.
Yeah, no, the reporting on this is worse than NFL contracts.
Yes.
It's fugazi. But here's the thing. Who in what world, this story boils down to this one point. There is not a world right now in college sports where you can take any rights away from student athletes.
They're trying hard.
I know. And Nick Saban and President Trump and they can do a million committees. It's not happening. Or you can ignore the courts, which I guess is kind of in vogue right now.
I feel like they're going to try and peel money back a little bit. I think they're going to.
But the Supreme Court said you can't do it.
Yeah.
Kavanaugh calls himself Coach K.
I know you're right. The tide has been to pay the athletes, but it sure seems like a lot of big people are organized to fight back. And you weren't kidding about it. It really is Deloitte.
Yeah.
The same people who do like our taxes are looking at all these deals.
And they're calling it NIL Go, like it's a streaming service. Like, I can download Game of Thrones on it, too.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about colleges, and I'll get a little political here, there's one thing that is inevitable and unstoppable. It is they will grow administrators. There's no growth industry on planet Earth like college administrators. My father-in-law is a professor. He's like, it's got like 18 to 1 at Harvard. 18 administrators for every professor, and that's the name of the game. So college sports is the same way. We've seen all the HBO. Like, those old guys who run the Peach Bowl, they will find their way to get their
beaks wet.
Yeah, their beaks wet. Thank you. This is college football, Maggie.
I don't know. I get that, and college football has gone one way for 100 years, and then 2020 happened, and there was a pandemic, and it exposed the entire system even more than it already had been exposed, and they have not had a W since.
No, both sides of the aisle can't stand the NCAA. It's an easy win to dunk on the NCAA. But, you know, maybe it's a seesaw effect. Maybe people think it's gone too far. I don't know.
As you say, look at one Dr. Pepper ad on a Saturday and tell us that the student athletes aren't making enough money.
Well, that's what I was saying to you. Everyone's like, oh, my God, can you believe Texas had a payroll, or Ohio State, or somebody had 35 to 40 million. That's how much Justin Jefferson gets for one season. So why is that such a big deal? Texas has got 9 primetime games. They should have a $35 million payroll for a season.
Good luck trying to get money back from these guys. Mm. That cat's out of the bag. Or doing it, you can close transfer portal windows and stuff like that, but you're also not getting, I don't think you're getting them to sign long-term deals unless you give them some kind of union and collective bargaining agreement. Agency is here to stay until things get radically overturned, and look where we are.
I have read, though, a lot of teams are emptying the collective, is the new expression now. You have all this money, so you got to spend it all right now before the new law comes in.
Oh, that sounds great.
So they spend a ton on guards and tackles, and like, look at some of the salaries. It's good for the players.
This is like that year when the NBA salary cap spiked.
Yes, it's exactly like that.
And who was the guy?
Kevin Durant.
Well, Durant actually deserved it, but yeah. There were guys who were getting paid.
Oh, yeah, Timofey Mozgov got like a $100 million like, deal. Alan Crabb got $115 million.
Oh, he's the face
Evan
of
Evan Turner, overpaid. Did he get a big one? Or?
Brooklyn Nets legend.
Oh, Evan Turner.
Turner got a big one.
Yeah.
Finagled the Knicks.
Did Nick Batum somehow get like $100 million?
Oh, Nick Batum is like Shaq compared to the rest of those guys.
Still playing. Yeah.
The Mozgov one was the one for me. Mozgov and Luol Deng both signing with the Lakers was just
Deng, that was the other huge one. At least he was an all-star.
Those were diabolical. Yeah, he was fried though. He had nothing left.
Playing for Tibbs.
Mm. Well, on a lighter note,
we're still playing.
Might be time for the Mets. They lost again last night, 3-1 at Fenway. That's 4 losses in 5 games. Huh. More shoddy defense. They went 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. And then there's Juan Soto, who didn't leave the box all that quickly on a drive to left field. He only got a single after the ball hit the Green Monster. Post-game, manager Carlos Mendoza on Soto's perceived lack of hustle.
He thought he had it, you know, but with the win and all that. And in this ballpark, or you know, anywhere, but in particular in this one, with that wall right there, you got to get out of the box. So, We'll discuss that.
Oh, they'll discuss that, except Soto doesn't think there's anything to discuss.
I think been hustling pretty hard. If you see it today, you could tell.
I guess in his tiny defense, that wasn't Soto responding to what his manager said. He was just simply asked if he thinks he needs to hustle more.
So there was a report came out that Juan Soto doesn't look happy. Okay.
I second that.
Well, whatever, Yankee fan. He shouldn't look happy. He's hitting .246. I know batting average doesn't matter, but he shouldn't be happy. Now, the team is doing well, so that's great. You can be happy for your teammates, but does people expect him to be skipping around when he's not carrying his weight?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Like, what do you want him out there just being like, hey? What do they want his demeanor to be like?
He looked pretty happy around the Yankees during BP on Sunday.
That's the thing. When he's talking to everybody, and he talks to everybody. He talks to every catcher. If he's on base, he talks to the guy that's on base. Like, so when he does that, then it's like, stop being nice to the opponent. And then when he's not doing that, it's like, stop pouting. So, like, there is no winning on the body language front. And I'm exhausted of it, and it's not even June 1st yet.
Don't worry. June 1st is when he'll start hitting, and this will all be...
Yeah, this is going to go away.
Dust in the air.
That's my silver lining. He did drill a ball to left center field last night that would have been at least a double everywhere else, if not a home run. So I'll take that over whether or not he left the box fast enough.
Also, Juan Soto hustling, I don't care about that.
He
don't need a hustle. He hit 40 home runs, hit 300. Well, we'll be fine.
This is one of the most overblown things of all, this hustle argument. I got no time for it.
Yeah. Reggie Jackson didn't hustle, and he was pretty good.
And Brandon Nimmo hustles, and he's got an on base of .250, so leave me alone.
He was hustling to a ball to the left field line, and he looked like he was 50 years old. How did you not get to that ball?
Oh, Brandon Nimmo just catching strays on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, when I've seen some of this Juan Soto stuff, I immediately go to the history of the Mets, who to me are the most famous overpayers.
Can we cut his mic off, please? Let's go to Brady. What's next?
I have control.
Not even to be controversial. I'm like, is he going to be Bobby Bonilla?
Where's the dump on? Wait, you let him say Bobby Bonilla. On the air. Why would you do that?
Because I'm a Yankee fan and I have
control. Come on,
of it.
Somebody go to break.
No, I just think
guys want to go to break.
No, I just think it's funny. Like, I'm like, oh my God.
Isn't it late earlier or something?
Yeah. I wanted Juan Soto bad in Philly, but now that he's a Met, I'm like, oh no, is he going to be the next Mets drastic failure? Of course, you're right. It's too early.
We got 15 years to figure it out.
Yeah. We're 1.5 months in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, still paying all three of those people. Mo Vaughn, Bobby Bonilla, and Juan Soto.
Huh, look at that.
Actually, not paying Mo
Vaughn. I don't think they're paying Mo Vaughn anymore. I think they're finally out from under the Mo Vaughn contract.
Are.
But who knows? Honestly, who cares? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. This whole thing is a setup so that you can be pumping quarters into a Mets-themed
casino.
Slot machine.
That's definitely coming.
Never lose sight of the real deal. Okay, coming up, let's get into Notre Dame-USC. What's the latest on this historic rivalry? Why could it be going away? I'll do that next.
Ta-da! At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, one of college football's oldest rivalries, Pearl, in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And you can thank the college football playoff and the new playoff structure for it. So according to a new report from Sports Illustrated, USC very wary of signing on long-term and continuing a commitment to play Notre Dame every year. A rivalry goes back 100 years. They've been playing, you know, the only times they haven't played was World War II and COVID year. And it's the Trojans who are the ones who are dragging their feet. According to Notre Dame athletic director, they want to continue this to go for into infinity. And USC wants to wait and see how the playoff structure is going to change, because obviously they're in the Big Ten now, which is making things even harder to get to the college football playoff because their schedule is insane.
Yeah, can I do a super soft take on this?
Sure.
I get it if I'm USC. Like, I have enough tough Midwestern games. You want to add another one to the schedule? Give me Oregon State, Washington State. Keep me out on the coast. I do not want an extra game against Notre Dame. I get it. I know that's the softest thing ever.
It is.
But they I mean, there are seasons where they're going to play either Michigan or Ohio State, and now Indiana is going to be good, and like that's enough. Like, going to the Big Ten was punishment enough. Why do you have to, I get it, pull Notre Dame out of that schedule? Because scheduling is everything in college football.
Right.
Like, you have an easy schedule, you get rewarded.
I get that. And I, you know, this is why people at the time were critical of this college football playoff, because it becomes all about the postseason in a sport that wasn't always about the postseason. College football was about the regular season, and then you play a bowl game at the end. But once you put in this postseason tournament, now it's like none of that even matters, and especially rivalries get pushed to the side. And this is a bummer. Yep. Now, if I am USC,
pretend you're the AD of USC. I want to hear your strategy.
I get it, but you're also going to benefit from this playoffs expanding and probably expanding and expanding. And who do you think is going to be the beneficiary of that? I'll give you a newsflash. It's not Boise State and Tulane.
Well, yes, it is.
It's going to be.
I saw Alabama sitting home last year and Boise State in the tournament. So how can you argue that it's not?
Because that was 1.0 version. When we get to 2.0 and 3.0 and this thing keeps expanding, it's not going to expand for the group of fives. It's going to expand for the power fours, and they're going to get more at-large bids. So it's going to be more forgiving, in my opinion, for teams that are in the Big Ten and in the SEC and ACC. And Big 12, I think really the Big 10 and the SEC, let's keep it a buck, it's going to be more beneficial, and there's going to be more safety nets for them. If you have a three-loss Alabama or a three-loss USC, you're more likely to get an at-large bid than a one-loss anyone else.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but that's purely a figment of your imagination right now, because we saw the exact opposite happen this year. And you say expansion.
But it's already expanding.
They could, what, to 16? So who cares? That's four more teams. It's not like it's going to 64.
Well, yeah, you still have to be good to make it into the postseason
tournament.
But
I think the much more important is to get an easy schedule. That's way, I mean, if Notre Dame can keep feasting on the ACC, then they're going to, and the Naval Academy and the Army. I think that's a big flaw in the sport, is imbalanced scheduling. And I know they're talking about it, but I don't think they're going to change it. So why would USC be like, well, you know, I know this is going to be a lot of fun for the fans, but it's going to hurt us. There's so much pressure on everyone there to get to the playoff. I totally get it. And I understand, you know, who is more manipulative of the system than Nick Saban? Like, you got to manipulate the system. So unless they fix this imbalanced scheduling, which they have no interest in really doing, do you think they're going to do this? I don't think they will. So, I mean, look at the bottom of the Big Ten last year. Look at Indiana. Their schedule was ridiculously bad.
Sure.
And the committee didn't care. They're like, you're great. We're going to make you the eight seed.
And why would USC be able to enjoy a similar kind of, like, it will be go in their favor at some point, just like it did for Indiana's. And you get to keep your rivalry game.
Yeah, SC didn't play Ohio State last year or Oregon, I think.
Well, listen, SC has a lot of problems going on right now. It doesn't feel like Lincoln Riley's quite figured it out.
Well, and, you know, he's got Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams, and they weren't able to, you know, make a run with him. So maybe he deserves to be on the hot seat. I don't know. He never fixed the defense in time. Maybe he's just deserves to be on the hot seat.
But to play devil's advocate on that, who's done better at USC since Pete Carroll?
Fair.
I think there might be some program problems. Maybe they're not spending money the right way. It does seem like they don't really know what, and they've had such a mess at AD, right? Like, guys have been in trouble and out of trouble. So I think USC's got bigger problems they got to straighten out. But will you agree with me that I don't think we're there yet? I'd be surprised. Next year, we're going to be sitting there in December. If you have three losses and you're a big conference team, I still think they're going to go with the smaller school. I think they'll go with the SMU.
I think they saw the blowouts. And I'm not saying that USC could have avoided that or whatever. I think they saw the blowouts, and while it's a small sample size, and not, you know, even Tennessee was in the SEC, they got blown out. But I think they saw some of the blowouts and thought,
maybe we bring in back South Carolina and Alabama. Should have made it.
Listen,
last year.
And Oregon got blown out, so it could happen to the big power schools too. But I think they saw, you know, teams not be that competitive outside of Arizona State, really.
Well. Yeah, but I mean, NIL has made more parity, so could be different in that sense, too.
888-710-4ISN.